This is the New Life Rancho Vista podcast. We are a church committed to loving God, growing together, and serving others. Our prayer and desire is that this message from our campus pastor, Peter Moore, will be a help and an encouragement to you, regardless of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So let's open our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to the incredible truths God has for us today.
We are in a series called Perfect Fit. And I will tell you that there are few things that are perfect in this life. And you know, we could talk about some things that we think are perfect. But every once in a while, we stumble across something. And I showed you a video last week. I have some screen grabs from the rest of that video. We stumble across something that really is a perfect fit. Okay, like this is one of them. This is a coin. If you're you know, have an iPhone case and you ever travel over to Europe or England, the pound, 1 pound coin fits perfectly in the back. I don't know why you would ever use that, but I guess it's a perfect fit. But when we see that it's just a perfect fit, it kind of brings us some sort of little weird satisfaction. Here's another thing that is a perfect fit. Someone found the cliff from the Cliff Bar. And the exact cliff, I don't know how they found that, but kind of looks like the guy's hanging off there, but that's a perfect fit. Here's another idea. The lemon in the iced tea there, or the tea, fits perfectly. But this is one of my favorites here. This one is where you hit the ball and it goes somewhere that you're like, wow, I never knew that would fit perfectly, but it does. I don't know if it's just me, but that's a perfect fit. And then this is another one. This is an airplane, and they built the hangar around the airplane, okay? So the wings go in, these little cutouts here, but not only do the wings fit in when it's open, but also then when it closes, it's a perfect fit as well. Why didn't they just build a hangar that would cover the entire jet? I don't know. You'd have to ask them, but regardless, it's a perfect fit. And when you make a mistake, make sure you make it to where the cone fits perfectly in the mistake that you made as well, and you'll be good. In life, there are a few things that fit perfectly, but I will tell you, in the Bible, there are some things that fit perfectly. And the first thing that fits perfectly in your Christian life is love for God. In fact, nothing else will fit unless we fit that passion, that first passion, the first love for Jesus. And you can listen to that message last week where we just talked about what it means to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. The Bible talks a lot about that. By the way, I wasn't planning on saying this, but one of the first prayers we taught to our children was the prayer of Shema. It's the prayer of saying to God, I'm listening, I'm hearing your voice, but it also, it begins by saying, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And so the very first thing that Hebrew parents teach their children is to not just listen to God, but to love him. And after that, when it gets to the point that we no longer, have a supreme love for self or man, but it's a supreme love for God, then we have to ask ourselves, well, how does that love grow? Or if it's not supreme, if it's not a number one love, you know, you say, well, how do I fix it? What can I do to make this love grow? And I want to talk a little bit today about how not just creating this love, but growing this love. And everyone who's come here knows that we're all on a pathway to growth. My job is not to, you know, come to you and say, you're not growing fast enough, or you're not growing the way I think you should grow. My job is to present from the Bible the way that it tells us to grow, and the Bible models and tells us to grow together. Now, in a minute, we're going to understand how believers are like bananas, okay? We all grow in a bunch, all right? We'll understand how God designed the Christian life not to be lived alone. I think it was Kobe Bryant that said, if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. And so there's a a sense in the Bible that God has planted us not on a solo mission, but on a co-mission. He's planted us together. And so we have a mission that is intertwined and connected. And we have to come back to that. And I really want to look at some of these scriptures, but before we do, I want to show you what the first part of these scriptures that we're about to read, how they break down, because we're going to go to Ephesians. It's a cyclical letter. It's this letter that was sent for several churches. They would cycle the churches. That's why it's called that. But the book of Ephesians is written to how the church should operate and how we should operate in our lives. And there's kind of two parts to this passage. Verse number 11 through verse number 12, it gives us a breakdown of what the pastors and leaders' job in growth is. Okay, so what's my responsibility, or the leaders in this church? What are your responsibility for helping the process of growth? We're to cast the vision, okay, for the progress that is possible. So I'm constantly every weekend saying, hey, growth is possible. It's not about perfection, it's about progress. And we're on a journey, okay? So just take the next step. You don't have to worry about the, you know, thousand steps that you still need to take, but let's just focus on the next one. And then obviously in verse number 13, it's talking about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And we're talking about this equipping that happens for being able to do God's work God's way. Okay, and then at the end of verse number 13, it talks about building up the church as a unified body of Christ. Now, the word body is used over 100 times in the New Testament, and it's talking about a metaphor for what the church, how the church should operate, and how the church was formed. So Christ formed the body of believers, okay, in general, but then he commands pastors, okay, and leaders to form individual groups like this one that are called individual separate bodies. Ecclesia is the word, and it's a called out assembly for a purpose. You say, what is that purpose? The purpose of every assembly is to love God and mature in our love together. Now, that growth process of maturity, when it breaks down, when there's immaturity, there's always three things present. And these three things are listed in verse number 14. It says in verse number 14, we're about to read these verses, but I wanted to break them down before we read them so you kind of understand where we're going. Immaturity in the church looks like this. So this is a warning to the church, also to me, but also to the church, to say, here's what to watch out for. When there's a lack of growth, there'll be these things present. There'll be inconsistency present. Okay, he said, don't be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, right? Verse 14. So then there'll be instability. He's talking about this instability as a result of the inconsistency. Okay, and then he says naivety. And this, the naive, simpleton type of Christianity, where we're not really focused on the truths, we're more focused on felt needs. We can be naive to what the Bible is actually teaching about a certain topic. And a lot of times I worked with young adults for 12 or 13 years, and I would, you know, get these texts from them, or we would sit down with a conversation, and I was realizing that what they believed about that topic was not based on the Word of God or truth. It was actually based on several videos that they had watched and several friends that they knew, but there was not substantive truth that they were leaning on, and so it was a little bit naive, a little bit. And we can all be naive in some areas, but we want to grow in our devotion to truth. We want to grow in our living out the truth. That gives stability. And we want to grow in our faithfulness to truth. That gives us consistency. Okay? So you guys ready to go? All right. So verse number 11 through verse number 16 is where we're going to go today in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? And he, this is Jesus, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So this is where the pastors and teachers come in. What did he give them to do? For the perfecting of the saints. That doesn't mean that you're perfect, right? Whenever we see the word perfect, we're talking about what? Progress, okay? So for the progress of the saints, or the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Wow, that's great. That's my job. For how long? Well, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So there's people out there trying to prey on those who don't know the truth. Okay, verse 15, these two verses are our text verse. These two verses are where we're going to break down, where there's actually seven key words we're going to go over today. It says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things. So this is your responsibility, is to grow up. Everyone say, grow up, okay? You know, the Bible doesn't mince any words here. He's just like, hey, grow up, all right? So grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we're not growing up by trying harder, like I said earlier. We're growing up in Christ, okay? So Christ is the head, producing the thoughts and producing the know-how and the will and the power to grow up, okay? So he gives the truth, he gives the love, and as we give love and devotion to truth, then we will grow up. Verse 16, what's this process look like in real life? Let's put flesh and blood onto these principles. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase. So we're talking about growing. By the way, when it says grow up and it says maketh increase, same words. Okay, so we're talking about the same thing in both verses of the body under the edifying, the building up of itself in love. Now, we're going to end the way we begin. I want you to notice how we start in verse 15 in love, and we end verse 16 in love. It's a love sandwich, okay? so you can't get out of here without saying, well, yeah, I know the truth, and I'm just going to tell them how it is. In love. Because we will never build each other up if it's outside of the bounds of love. So there's a lot of churches out there that are all about love, but they miss the meat. And the meat in the sandwich is truth. And there's a lot of churches out there that they have, you know, a lot of truth, but man, there is absolutely no love present. Do you feel the love? No, I don't know where that came from. But when I was growing up, I didn't feel the love. And again, the Lord, I know, used that to show me, wait a second. We can't be all truth. But you know what I've seen? I've seen there's ditches on both sides of the road, folks. We have to have both of them together. So last week we talked about the love. I'm all about the love. This week I want to talk a little bit about the truth in love. So there's two necessities for growing together, okay? Two necessities for growing together, and we're going to talk about that today, but I want to talk about the first two parts of our purpose. The first part of our purpose of the church is loving God. So let's say that together. Ready? Loving God. Let's say it together. Loving God. And then the second part is growing together. Let's say that together. Growing together. Let's say it again. Growing together. So we're loving God, and we're growing together. So here's the two necessities for growing together. It's really simple. The Bible doesn't make it complex. Okay, so the first one is growing requires the whole truth. So growing together requires the whole truth. You got to have the whole thing. Look at verse number 15. It says, how do we receive this truth? Well, verse number 15 says, speaking. Okay, so there's got to be a speaking the truth, but it's got to be in love. And so here's what the Bible says about how to receive the truth. What's the best way to receive the truth? Well, we've just said it. It's in love. So letter A, God desires the truth to be paired with love. Now, I will tell you what my dream job would be to sit at a table like those people on TV and explain the really good food that you're eating. I don't know if I would be good at it, but I'd love to just try it once. In fact, there was a school here in the valley who heard that that was my dream, like a bucket list thing, and they invited me to this food contest to be a judge. And something came up right at the last minute where I had to cancel, and I will tell you, I was so bummed. You guys, literally, I had written down phrases I was going to use. Like an explosion of flavor in my mouth. That's a good one. I believe I just had a few taste buds that just came to life. I mean, I was ready for this, you guys. This was a dream of mine. Still bitter I didn't get to do it. But here's the point, is a really, really good chef knows what to pair a dish with. How many of you do not like mixing your food together? Not at all. It needs to stay separate. That's okay. That's okay. You raise your hand. How many of you are like, it's all going to the same place? Right? I don't care. Yeah, but if the Jell-O goes into my mashed potatoes, if they're red or blue, who cares? You know what's crazy is? Everyone in my family is like, my boys and Danielle, I think she's still with the kids, she'll be here in a minute, but literally, I mean, if a pea wanders from its section on the plate, okay, that there is an intervention, okay? It's like, whoa, no, there's no mixing of the food. Well, let me just tell you something about truth and love. It has to be mixed, because if it's not mixed, one cannot live properly or effective without the other. And so when it says speaking, I love this. I love this. All seven of these words are packed. I mean, we could literally, in one of these days, I want to do this. And so I don't want to do it soon. We'll do it maybe next year or the year after next. But we could do a 7-week study on these seven words. They're so incredible. Okay, so when the Holy Spirit was giving the Apostle Paul the words to use, it was such a masterful way to say this. Because he didn't just say, oh, you need truth and love. He said, I want you to speak the truth in love. Here's the word for speaking the truth in love. The word speaking, okay, is this eletheo. It means to speak the truth to yourself. Okay, I'm not going to ask you how many of you have a habit of speaking to yourself, because we all do. In fact, when I was getting my graduate studies about 10 years ago, and I was doing a study, and I came across this one study that Harvard researchers had done, and it basically said that all human beings talk to themselves, and the ones that don't are in self-denial, okay? So telling the truth to others is one thing, but speaking the truth to yourself is another. And again, I'm really excited, and I'm you know, waist neck deep into our Hebrew study that we're going to pick back up on speaking the truth to ourselves, and we'll go through the book of Hebrews and talk about that. But when he says speaking the truth, he's saying you have to integrate the truth with your thoughts. It has to be a part of the narrative that you speak. When you're talking to yourself, you have to compare and say, wait a second, is this true? Do I really know how that person was feeling toward me? Do I really understand the shoes that they're in right now? Do I really grasp how their situation's unfolding for them to respond that way? Do I? Because I don't know if I do. See, truth says that I don't. I don't exactly know how they were feeling, and so I can't jump to that conclusion and be unloving, because that's not a truthful statement. And so we have to be truthful in order, we have to be kind in order for truth to be effective. And so we all recognize when there's a harsh truth, right? Whenever someone says, you know, something harsh, and I mean, Twitter's full of these people, man. They come out in the morning, I don't know what they have for breakfast, like a tall glass of I don't give a rip or whatever. But I mean, they literally come out of the gate. And if I follow you on Twitter, I'm sorry, I don't look as much, just because it's super, like, I'm like, what are these people thinking? It's just, you know, both guns are loaded. So we all recognize a harsh truth. We're like, whoa, that was really mean. But here's what we often don't recognize, is just as a harsh truth lacks love, a half-truth also lacks love. Because if we're not being truthful, ultimately we're not being loving. Because there's a lot of things I have to say to my sons that's true, and I'm sorry that I have to tell them because they're going to be disappointed, or they're going to be like, oh man, I need to change that, or there's a consequence for this, or it's tough, but it's true, and it's loving. And so if you're not living in truth, it's not really loving. And so there has to be both for there to be love and for there to be truth. So here's the key thought from this point. Being truthful and gentle at the same time is attempting to warn while preventing a wound. And so in my line of work, okay, I'm constantly giving warnings, but I'm trying not to wound. And one of the most disappointing things is when I know what I'm going to tell someone is true and it's loving, and I'm going to try to do it in such a way where I don't wound them, but I know it's going to cause a little bit of wound, but I love them enough. I love you enough to tell the truth. And this is what John said about his beloved Gaius. He said, "Whom I love in the truth." Third John. And I love him. I love him in the truth. I love him enough to say the truth. I love him enough to tell the truth. I love him enough to live the truth in front of him. And so God desires truth to be paired with love. But then letter B, God desires truth to be applied on purpose. Truth should be applied on purpose. You see, it's not just speaking the truth in love, but look at the rest of verse 15. It says, speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into all things. And I look at that and I'm like, God, honestly, this is impossible. Why did you put this in the word? Because I can't grow up in all things. All things? Really? In every area? In every category you want me to progress in? I don't have the strength for that. I don't have the energy for that. I don't have the ability to grow up in all things. But God says, well, wait a second. You're not the head. You're not the one that's going to give you the thoughts. You're not the one that's going to give you the strength. You see, the head is the life of the body, and Christ is the life of the Christian. Christ gives us the power to be able to grow up in all things, but we must apply the truth. We must give the application to our lives, and Peter talked about it this way in 1 Peter 2, in verse number 2. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, they want it. It's applied to them because they want it, and then they grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted the Lord is gracious, when you taste that the Lord is gracious, it grows your love for the Lord, and when your love for the Lord grows, you grow as a person. And so when he says the word grow up, when his command is to grow up in all things, here's the word he's using. It's the word anexo and autexo. It means to cause to grow, to increase, to spread. It means to perfect, but it's from this root word for pipe or flute. And it's literally talking about someone who doesn't know an instrument, but who can grow in their ability. Now, there's something I know about playing an instrument. I played one for a while in high school. Trumpet, then trombone, right? But there's one thing that I realized, that the more I grew as a person, the more strength I had to be able to hit certain notes and to play that instrument, not to perfection at all, but to satisfactory levels until I basically got my parents off my back and I didn't have to play it anymore, okay? The reality is in life, there are certain things that we have to grow into. And it is Christ that allows us the ability to do that. You see, the head is the most essential part of the body. It is the source of all the thoughts and function. And so this is what growing up means. It means trading what is comfortable for what is essential. Let's say that together. Growing up is trading what is comfortable for what is essential. Now, my job is to comfort the afflicted and to sometimes afflict the comfortable. And again, I don't like coming in here saying, I'm trying to get you out of your comfort zone, but I know that the only way that you will flourish and thrive in your Christian life is to step a little bit outside your comfort zone. And let me just tell you something, that stepping outside of your comfort zone is not just putting something on. It's not just learning something new. It's actually letting go of something that has been very, very comfortable for you, but now you need to grab onto something. essential, and you cannot grab onto what God has for you next until you let go of what God has placed in your hand before. You see, often the good is the enemy of the best in the Christian life. And this week I was reminded of this because Chandler spends about 2.5-3 hours on his bike a day. Any of you that know him, I don't know where he got this. I wasn't like this when I was a kid. Maybe I was. But I mean, he is really into doing tricks on his bike. He can do a couple. But he's just a daredevil. That's just the way he is. And he really has this bike that he inherited from his brother. He loves it. A little blue bike. And I mean, when you have something that you've broken in and you just feel like, this is my ride. You know, this is my bike. And he loved that thing. And he was riding and he was riding in some rocks and he popped his tire and didn't just pop it, he actually bent the back tire. And I was researching another tire and bikes are like $40 at Walmart. And I'm like, you know what, Chandler, I think it's time for a new bike. I mean, I wanted to put new pedals on the bike. And he said, no, Dad, I like it without pedals. I'm like, how are you riding it? It's like two sticks sticking out. He's like, no, I've gotten used to it. I know. I'm like, you'd really go a lot faster with pedals. No, I like it. So finally I said, Chandler, we need to let go of it. I said, we'll take a picture and we just need to let that one go and we'll go bike shopping. And so I will tell you, I underestimated how sad that would make him. I'm like, I did not realize that that bike was a part of our family. I mean, honestly. You know, and Chandler's a tough kid. I mean, he wasn't a wimp about it. He was just like, I could just tell he was so sad. He's like, Dad, can we just hang it up in my room? I can't hang a bike above your head, especially with these little jagged spikes sticking out. I mean, come on, man. And so we started. I said, come here, look at my phone. I started looking up these bikes online, and whoa, wow, look at that one. Look at that one. So I got him just enough excited. We went down to Walmart, and we got him a new bike, and he was so excited. But it wasn't until he got on the seat of that new bike did he start to release the feeling of discomfort from having to let something go. Let me just tell you that God has some new things in your life. He has a new stage of growth, but I will tell you, until you get on the seat and start pedaling, until you start applying the truths that he has given you, until you start living them out, friend, listen, you're always going to be looking at that old bike, that old habit, and saying, I can't get rid of it. I don't want to get rid of it. Truth be told, I don't even want to give this habit up. God says, get on the new bike. And pedal away, get away from that old life and get toward the new. Listen, God wants you to let go of some, put off some things, as he says in his word, but we have to put on some things as well. And so he says, put off the old man, Colossians 3:9, with the words, and then put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Jesus Christ. You see, growing is not a race. It's not how fast you're growing, but it is a pace. And if you're not growing, that means you're dying. You have to be growing. You have to be taking these steps. Your body's constantly letting go so that it can bring in new nutrients. And the Christian life is the exact same way as well. And so here's the key thought from this point, that growing is all about thinking, living, looking more like Jesus every single day. Let me just tell you something. If you are discouraged by what you see around you, wow, that person's so much better at that than I am. Oh, I can't get over this. Listen, they're not the goal. Christ's word is the goal, okay? He's the one that sets your pace, not them. We have so much comparison, we get discouraged because, listen, I look at people around me, I'm like, wow, they're such a better parent and such a better person in this area, and they handle their finances better, and they do all of these things better. And God has to remind me sometimes, listen, your growth pace is not their job. Your growth pace is between me and you. We have to be growing, taking steps toward the image of Jesus. I'm going to give you some homework today, but if you want to read the way that he wants you to let go of some things and put some things on, verse 17 of our passage, Ephesians 4, 17 through 24, gives us these practical ways we can let go and take on. And so it has to be truth. It has to be truth that's applied and truth in love. And so if we're going to grow up, it's going to require the whole truth, not just part of the truth, thinking the truth, speaking the truth in love. But let's get to verse number 16. Verse number 16. Because number two, it's not just the whole truth, but growing together requires, number two, growing together requires the whole body. Now you guys, if you're a new Christian, you're just coming into the church, I really want you to get this, because a body is not all these segmented parts. A body is one unit. It's the body, it's never plural, by the way, in the sense that bodies, it's body life. This is why it's so important to read your Bible and understand what it's saying, because in verse number 16, it's talking about the fact that when we are living in truth, and when we're living in truth with love, okay, then truth will lead us to transition. Growth always is causing transition. And when we have this positive transition from truth, letter A, truth leads to transition, and transition brings togetherness. Say, so how does that work? We're going to see it in verse number 16. So truth-led transition leads to togetherness. There has to be change. There has to be transition for togetherness to happen. But how does this work? It all is driven and led by the truth. Let me show this to you. Verse number 16. Okay? It says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Okay? So it's talking about the body being together. And what is it together and compacted and supplied with? According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So there's different parts of the body. There's the hand, the foot, the mouth, the eyes, right? But it's all one unit working together. And it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying. There's the truth. We're built up in truth, okay? The truth is the foundation. It's what builds us up. It's what lifts us up. But it's the edifying of the truth of itself in love. Now, when we understand that we're to be fitly joined together, we need to think of it as synergy. In fact, the first part of synergy is the Greek word that talking about this being together, okay? So this synergy or synmologio, it's this being a perfect fit. It's where we get the title of our three-week series here. But it doesn't just mean working together. It literally is talking about being wired to be better together than separate. Meaning, you are wired to be working together as a unit, and together you will actually grow faster and you will go further in your Christian life than if you were off on your own. And I will tell you that I was a young adult pastor. Some of my young adults were in here. But I started to drift away from the body. And honestly, a lot of it was my fault. And when we started a new life, man, God started to grow me. And the last 2 years have been two of the greatest years of growth that Danielle and I have ever experienced, because we feel the synergy, the synergio, which is the Greek word. It's the togetherness. And this togetherness, being fitly joined together, is the way that God designed it to work. Okay, so we have the bananas up here, and if they're making you hungry, you can have one. But I want you to know that this was not my idea. This was not some like self-help guru, okay, that designed the church to be a unit that we all work together. Okay, so I said when we first started that believers are like bananas, we all grow in a bunch, okay? I forget who said that, but it's true. All right, now let me just show you a video while I'm talking about this, because bananas, it is an impossibility for one banana to grow. And so, you know, they start in the plant. By the way, it's not a banana tree. It's a banana plant. I learned that this week. But it has these big flowers. And I apologize for the quality of the video, but it'll show you kind of what's happening. The flower grows. And then there's these little buds that form, these little flowers that grow off the big flower. Okay? And generally, it's anywhere from 20 to 30. These are the big kinds. But look. It's what? Come on. Okay. Back down here. Okay. These right here. Well, right there. There. Thanks, guys. So these little things, they have these little flowers, and they're like an inch and a half. And they grow as this unit to where they get bigger and bigger to the point that then they start to ripen. And they can be cut off. But let me tell you something that happens. If you cut one of them off, it will die. If one of them gets a little bit further down the line, if it's not getting the same nutrients that the whole group is, if it doesn't have the pollinization, if it doesn't have the body for protection and nutrients, you see where this is going? It's going to die. Let me just tell you something. If someone in this body ever reaches out to you and says, man, how you doing? Praying for you. Missed you or whatever. Don't ever say, well, I'm busy. I have stuff. No. That's the body saying, hey, we need each other. We need each other. Because the devil's looking for people who are getting sidelined, who are getting discouraged, who are getting lonely. And let me tell you, the church is to be together as a bunch. We have to be together. And so the transitions that need to take place, the changes that need to take place are shifts and moves to bring us closer together. Now, how in the world does that take place? Well, anything that's growing, okay, is in transition, and anything that is in transition is always getting better if it's in transition around the truth. This is why in Hebrews, we're going to get to this in Hebrews 10, but this is why in Hebrews it says this. It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So some forsake the assembly, but it says, hey, we want to be together. Why? Because we're exhorting one another, okay, the same word for building up, lifting up one another, so much the more as we see the day approaching. So listen, there's a day that's going to come where Jesus is literally physically going to be our lifting up, but he has put you in the lives of those that are here to lift up. You say, well, how do I get connected to this? How do I get connected to the nutrients? How do I get connected to this body of believers for growing? I'm so glad you asked, because let's go back to the Bible, okay? Go back to verse number 16, because it says, we're jointly fit together. And I've never seen this before, and how many times I've studied this. I always thought the word compacted just meant kind of a different word of what together means. This is totally different. The word compacted is the word for this symbibazo. It means to join together, but it means to be around the same teaching, the same conclusions, to be held together by the same instruction, to be knit together by the same advice. It's the closest Greek word to the word for being planted. We're growing together because we're planted together. And listen, everyone wants the fruit of growth, but few people want to be planted because it feels a whole lot like being buried together. Now, you can do a lot of things, but don't put me in a close space with a lot of people where I can't get out. And what some have misinterpreted as claustrophobia in the church, well, I don't want to get that close, bro. TMI, man. That was, whoa, did you hear what he shared at the small group? Like, who does that? And so what we do is we create this kind of this idea of, oh, I could never share that, I could never do that. I mean, that's, I don't know. I mean, who is this guy? I mean, who, you know? But no. We need to kind of look at it from a different standpoint to say, no, wait a second, I'm willing to be planted. Now, what happens when we're planted? Well, he shall be like a tree rooted by the planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in due season. When you're planted in the right place with the right people, you will bring forth the right fruit, the right result. And so here's what the verse when we were talking about heart for the house. Here's what we were talking about being planted in the body of believers. Psalm 20. What is it, guys? Psalm 92:12 says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree." I think that's talking about a date palm. We'll talk about that in a minute. "He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Now, I read about this week, and then I found a video that describes a date palm tree seed from the time of Jesus that was just found. This is what they did.
This tree was sprouted from a date pit found in Masada by Yigal Yadin and given to Hebrew University, and later transferred to Bar Ilan by Ehud Netzer. And it was given to me in a handful of seeds by Dr. Sarah Salom from Hadassah, from the Natural Medicines Research Center, who asked me to try to sprout the seeds. And this is the only seed that came up of the handful of seeds I was given.
So the seeds, when were they from? The 1500s? The 1700s?
They were dated between 35 and 65 AD by radiocarbon dating in two places.
Which makes it in the Gregorian?
Makes it almost 2,000 years old.
So this is a 2,000-year-old baby tree. This is a 2,000-year-old baby? Is that what I'm saying?
This is a 6-year-old tree from a 2,000-year-old seed.
So let me tell you something. That seed had sat in Masada, and I got to go to Masada, and I actually saw these rooms they were excavating. There are these rooms that they had these big stores of food. Well, so the date palms had been preserved. The seeds had just been sitting there. The seeds had just been sitting there for 2,000 years, and they took those seeds and they planted them in the ground thinking that nothing would happen, and guess what happened? They started to grow. Now, here's what's amazing about the church. Things will grow that have never grown before when you start to get planted. You say, "Man, I've never grown. I don't feel like I'm growing." Listen, get planted. When you plant yourself in this body, it's not the body that has the magic. No, it's the person providing the growth. And he's not going to force the growth on you. He's saying, "I'll help you grow, but I'm not going to force you. You got to get planted." Let me encourage you. Get planted in a small group here at New Life. Let me encourage you. Get planted in discipleship. Get planted in a discipleship, a one-on-one study with someone. Just get planted. Listen, get planted in the Word of God. Take these study sheets home and read over them and start to do some meditation and prayer and really start to grow, because when we are placed in the body on purpose, here's the key thought from this passage. When we're placed in this body on purpose, it will help each other grow in our love for God. And so we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Peter said. And it is the growth that comes from that love that we have for Christ that supplies everything we need to go to the next step. So here's the word supplieth. When it says that we're fitly joined together and we're compacted, meaning we're rooted together, here's what it means. We're supplied, and it says that this supplying is giving additional help or a supply of needed provision. Listen, people around you are going to help you. They're going to be Jesus to you so that you can go to the next level. And so it is the truth that is helping us through the transitions and changes that we need to make that gives us the togetherness that we need to have. Okay? Now, letter B, and we're basically done, but I'm going to take the last few minutes and I want to show you this, because I can tell you all day, but I think you'll get it when I start to kind of put it into these terms, okay? So, letter B, all right? Love, when there's love-driven, we're talking about being love-driven, right? Loving God comes first. So when there's love-driven agreement, when there's that togetherness, okay? When there's love-driven agreement, it always brings development. Now listen, we never set any goals for how much numerically we wanted to grow at the church. But we just said, whoever the Lord brings, we want to have a developing, growing culture. We want a culture to where we look back in a calendar year and say, "Whoa, God changed me. That one thing that I've been working on for 10 years, God gave me the power. He gave me the power to develop, to grow. I'm not where I need to be, but I'm not where I once was. Man, what a beautiful thing to be in a group of people that aren't perfect. And I'm the chief, man. Listen, no one's perfect. No one. But we're all progressing. Listen, development into the image of Jesus Christ is the end goal. It's the end goal. And so I wanted just to paint this picture because this is exactly what was happening in the first century. Okay, so love-driven agreement, it brought development. Here's what was happening. So Paul loves God and he wants to grow together. And so he starts to form his body, his group of guys, his group of leaders, right? And so Paul, one of the first people that he reached out to was Silas. And boy, they sang together. I'm gonna ask Isaac to come up here. He's my Silas, right? Okay, so Isaac, come on up here, man. Silas, man, they were together. They were together. And man, they were together. And they went everyone, man, arm and on. Man, they got in prison together for preaching the gospel. What did they do? They just said, we can't change it, let's sing. All right, I think Silas had his guitar. I don't know. I think he had his guitar. Man, everywhere Paul went, Silas went. Everywhere Silas went, Paul went. Man, they went over here. They were making sure the air was on. They were together, man. But you know what? Paul realized, wait a second. I can only give him so much truth and so much love. I want to give the church as much truth and as much love as the Lord will allow me to. And so Paul met someone called Gaius. And a lot of people don't know this, but I read the verse about Gaius being the beloved of John. You know who Gaius was also the beloved, the first beloved of? Paul. You know, we would not have the letters of Paul, the 13 letters of Paul, if Gaius had not had good handwriting. Paul did not write the letter physically. He spoke the letter as the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And Gaius, the verses that we read in Ephesians were penned by the hand of Gaius. Do you know who our Gaius is? You know who puts these slides up here? Not me. I don't know how to do that. It's Juan. Juan, come on up here. I'm putting you on the spot. He's like, yeah. He's going to be like, why did you do that? But listen, I want you to see, it's together. And then. The church is needing encouragement, man. They were going through hard times. And you know what? He reached out to Barnabas, man, arm in arm. Really wish we had air conditioning for this illustration. Arm in arm. It was hot and cold and hard. And he reached out to Barnabas, and he was an encourager. You know who's been a huge encouragement to me? I don't know if Joe's in here. Joe, Pastor Joe, come on up here, man. We got Barnabas here. You know, just encourage arm in arm. And Silas, you're on this side. Silas reached out to Barnabas and said, hey, we need an encourager. Man, arm in arm, they were together. And then Demas, where's Johnny? No, I'm just kidding. That's a bad character. Is Johnny in here? Johnny, come on up here. John Mark. Man, John Mark, he was profitable for the ministry. He was profitable, man. He was here. They were one unit. He was a part of on this side, man, my brother, on this side. He was profitable. And they weren't open-ended. In fact, Pastor Joe and Jonathan, link arms, other way, back to back. Okay, so here we go. All right. Man, together. Do you get the picture? Now here's the thing. If we're together but we don't have a purpose, that's not good. And next week we're gonna talk about how no one's on the bench. I'm going to bring a bench in. I'm going to show you. No one's on the bench. Everyone's arm in arm together. But here's what happens. So we start going up the stairs and we're progressing. We're growing. Come on, guys. We're growing. Okay? We're progressing. We're going up the stairs. And when one person trips and falls, sorry, I'm so heavy, guys. when I don't have the energy, I can't take it any longer. Man, I need someone to pour some life, pour some grace into me. I'm thankful I'm connected to a body, and together we're stronger. Together we're growing, we're progressing. We may not get up the stairs as fast as I want, but we're still going up. We're together, we're a unit. We're getting stronger the higher we get. And let me tell you, one day we're gonna get to heaven and we're gonna look around and we're gonna be like, hey guys, we did it. We're here. We're in Jesus' presence. We won people to Christ. We fulfilled the mission of God. We did the things that he told us to do, and we did it. We didn't do it separately. You know, when we walked up those stairs, it wasn't just one person. We all get the credit. Why? Because it was all of us working together. There's no superstars on this team called the church. We're all together. Now listen, I couldn't have done it without these guys, man. Starting this church 2 years ago, I mean, just these guys have been incredible. And there's many others, man. There's so many. But listen, the person, maybe there's someone in here, this is your first week. We can't do it without you. Every person is needed. And I want you to know something, that if you're sitting here thinking, well, everyone except for me. No. That's Satan whispering in your ear. No. We need you. We got to have you. The mission's never been greater. The time has never been shorter. The message has never been more important. And it's so important. And so we are a group. And if the banana illustration didn't get you, I hope that you'll remember a group. I hope that you think of yourself being arm in arm with the person next to you spiritually. That we're here for one another, that we're to pour into one another, that there's a book that will give us the truths, but we have to live them out together. It is the togetherness that gives us our strength. It is the growth that we have in Christ. And guys, you may be seated. Let's look at the takeaway. The takeaway is this, that we need to daily ask God to produce a passionate desire to grow closer in the body. We're to grow closer in the body, but we cannot produce our desire to grow closer in the body. And I believe one of the greatest ways that we can grow closer in the body is to pray. Now let me give you these seven words that we've read in the Bible and what they are. First, we said that when he says speaking the truth, it's speaking the truth to yourself and others. Next, he said that when we're growing up, we're growing up by growing and taking steps of increase. And we're together. We're a perfect fit. We're compacted, meaning we're rooted and growing together the same beliefs. And we're supplying what we need for each other. And the word energia is this word for effectual working that we read earlier, providing the words and the time and the resource and the influence for each other to grow. And then this oikoidome, it means the edifying and the uplifting and the building and the rebuilding and the strength. You know, when someone makes a mistake, it's not time to kick them when they're down. Someone's going through a hardship. No, lift them up. Lift them up. A lot of people say, oh, I just want to go deeper. Oh, I want to get deeper. I want to go deeper. Well, you know what? When we were at the men's camp out a few weeks ago with several of the men in here, we saw a huge redwood that fell over. And that redwood fell over. You know what it exposed? It exposed the roots. I think we have a picture of it. It exposed the roots. And you know the redwood roots? They don't go deep. You know how the tallest trees in the world, do you know how they stay so strong? Their roots intertwine with each other. It is in their strength. You'll never see a redwood by itself because God didn't design it that way. You want to go higher? Get together. When we're compacted, we're rooted together. Say together. That's what God is calling you to be. He's calling you to grow, but he's not calling you to grow separately. He's calling you to grow together. And so our churches, verse that we've said, this is the way that God has called us to grow. When they that gladly received his word, Acts 2:41, they were baptized. That's the first step of growth. Same day they were added into the church. So we're added to the church. Once we're in the body, they continued in the doctrine. Steadfastly, that means devoted in the doctrine. Fellowship, that's the togetherness we talked about. Koinonia, two fellows in the same ship, around the same doctrine, around the same truths, loving one another. Breaking bread and prayers. We're praying together. Bless you. We're sneezing together. We're, you know, talking to the school district about the air conditioning together. We're doing everything together. Let me just tell you, guys, We're in this together. And if you're here and you're new, let me just tell you, get connected. Not for us, for you. It's together we all win. And I hope that you'll do something this week to help connect yourself to the body of Jesus Christ.
Thanks again for listening. If you would like to learn more about our church or how to get connected, check us out online at findnewlife.church or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under the handle Find New Life. Have an amazing day.